Tvulion Perik Bez Mishnah Bez. Kedera Shehimaleo Mashkim. If you have a pot full of liquid, Benagabot Tvulion, and a Tvulion touched the liquids that were inside the pot, Imhaya Mashke Teruma HaMashkim Psulim. If the liquids were Truma liquids, then they are Pusul, because the Tvulion is a Sheni Latuma, and he turns the Truma into a Shlishi, not a Shlishi that can transmit Tuma any further, but a Shlishi that is Pusul. But Behakedera Tahora. But the pot remains tahar because liquid touched by its full yom doesn't convey any further tumah. It doesn't conduct tumah any further, not even to food, certainly not to kalin. And so as a result, the pot is still tahar. Normally something that makes truma pusul or certainly tameh makes liquids a rishon latumah, but its full yom does not. On the other hand, if im haya mashke chulin, if the liquids inside the pot were not truma at all, but were chulin hakol tahar, then everything is tahar, because chulin doesn't become any further tameh in any way by a tful yom touching it. And so as a result, everything remains tahar. He doesn't affect chulin and meiser. But bim hayu yadav miso avos, on the other hand, if his hands were tameh, then hakol tameh, everything is tameh, the liquids and the pot. Tameh hands turn liquids into a Rishon L'tuma, as does anything ordinarily besides the Tful Yom that makes Truma Pusul. And so as a result, the Rishon L'tuma, which are the liquids, now turn the pot Tameh. And so everything is Tameh, the liquid, the pot, everything. At least this is according to the Ravid. The Rambam says, on the other hand, when it says Hakol Tameh, it means the liquids, whether they were Truma or Chulin. But the pot, according to the Rambam, is still Tahar. Zechomer bayadayim mibit tvul yom, and this in fact is something that is more chomer when it comes to hands than a tvul yom. V'chomer b'tvul yom mibit yadayim. Now, at the same time, there is a different chomra that applies to a tvul yom that is greater than the hands. Chesafek tvul yom posel zatruma v'ayadayim sfek and tahar. If the tvul yom, there is a suffek whether or not he touched the truma, then the suffek truma we consider pusul. Whereas, if the hands, we don't know if they're tummy or tahar, they leave the truma tahar. This we're going to learn in Masech the Yadayim later on. So in fact, if a tful yom has a suffek, if he touched the liquid or not, we go l'chumra. If the hands, there's a suffek, and we don't know what the hands are, then we go l'kula. Mishnah Gimel, hamikpa shel truma. If you have a porridge, oatmeal, which some people use to season with garlic, with oil, which is going to come in a minute. So you have a truma porridge. And v'hashum v'hashem shel chulin. And there were garlic and oil that he put in to season his gruel. And those were chulin garlic and oil. And then v'shana got tful yom b'mitzasana. Tful yom touched even part of them, of the garlic or the oil. Well then, pasal is chulim, everything is pasal. The main dish is the mikvah, the porridge. The garlic and the oil are just a tuffel. They're accessories to it. And so this whole thing is considered to be one truma dish because the porridge itself, the main substance, was truma. So everything is pasul. Hamikvah shel chulin v'hashum v'hashem shel truma. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, if the porridge itself is chulin, but the spices, the accessories, the flavorings are truma, shenagat tful yom b'mitzasan, and the tvul yom again touched part of the garlic of the oil. Lo pasal al makom mago. The only part that becomes pasal is the part that he actually touched. The mikpah is not a connective to the garlic of the oil. And chulin, as we know, is unaffected by a tvul yom. Since he didn't affect the porridge, he only affected exactly what he touched, which is that one area of garlic and oil, and not the rest of the garlic in the oil, because the porridge is considered to be a barrier between the sections. And so as a result, he didn't passel the entire thing. Maybe he could just scoop out the part that he touched, and you could still go with everything else. However, if his porridge was mostly garlic flavored with a little porridge, so he doesn't really like oatmeal. He likes a lot of garlic and sticks a little oatmeal in it. Then we follow the rov. Now, some people say, if this is the situation where it's truma garlic and the chulin porridge and the truma garlic outweighed it, so we say we consider the whole thing to be truma, like the first case with the truma porridge. And so as a result, if part of the garlic is touched by its full yom, then everything is pusul because of the fact that he has touched the truma part. But if it was truma parge and chulin garlic, then even if the garlic was predominant, but we don't go lakula and we say the truma is still the ikker. We say the parge is still the ikker. So in other words, the garlic being most of what's in the bowl only counts if the garlic is what's truma. If the parge is what's truma, then we still say the parge is the ikker, according to many of the Mefarshim, the Rambam, the Rav, Tosas Yontif. Other Mefarshim say, no, absolutely, we just go with whatever the garlic is. If the garlic is predominant, then whether it's chulin or whether it's garlic, then it's whatever is the majority is what counts. So some Mefarshim just go with the letter of what it says, but the one we described first goes with saying we go after the rove only in the case where the rove is the truma object. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai. When is this true when we say that having a lot of garlic with a little porridge is what we count? Only if bismachem gushba ke'ara, if the garlic is kind of a compacted mass in the pot. But if they were mashed together and then the garlic got scattered all around, if by mashing it in this mortar he has turned it into little tiny pieces all over the place, then tahar. We say it's tahar, and the only part that is possible is what he touched. Despite the fact that the garlic may be the rove, because once he mashed it, Mibneshu Rotsa Bipizuro, he just wants little bits here and little bits there. And so as a result, it doesn't considered connected. It is not considered connected to each other. If it's a compact mass, that's one thing. But if his Rotson was that it be spread apart, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then even if it is still quite kind of compacted, we don't count it that way. At least that's Rabbi Yehuda's point of view. Because what we're saying is, the compact mass that is not intended to be scattered, that's chibur. But once it is scattered, that is not a chibur, according to the way Rabbi Yehuda reads the case. Ushar kol anidochen shadochan b'mashkin. Now, on the other hand, any items, objects that are normally mashed with liquids, but he didn't, I'm sorry. And this applies also to any case where you mash foodstuffs with liquid. So you have wheat, and you made it wet, and you mashed it in a mortar. We count it the same way we count garlic that was mashed in a mortar, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Tful Yom touched it when it was mashed up, only if it's a compact mass is it chibur. But if it's scattered, then not. But if it's something, normally it is something that you mash up with liquids, but he did not. He didn't mash it with liquids. He mashed it dry. He didn't do it the way it's supposed to be done. And you have a compacted mass in the pot in this case, we consider this to be like a cake of pressed figs, that each fig is a separate entity, and the cake that's mashed together, because it wasn't mashed in this liquidy way that we are describing, then the entire mass is not pusel or tame. It's not a chibur, according to Rav Yehuda. So if you should mash it with liquid, and that would change the consistency, but he mashed it as a solid, then it's considered a pizuro. It's considered to be scattered all around. And if it's a compact mass, it's still not a compact mass. It's still considered scattered because he didn't mash it the way it's normally done.